This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's opening day, baby. Opening day. And I'm still trying to figure out what's going on at first base. Why'd you make that move? Why? I understand second base. I understand why you made that move. I still don't get first base. If Josh Naylor, if his legs collapse in the first month of the season, heaven forbid, I would understand, maybe. Jeff Phelps, Andy Baskin, to celebrate opening day, we're going back and just quickly looking at opening day lineups through key years of franchise history. The boys enjoyed it immensely when we did the first game ever played by a Cleveland Major League Baseball team. It was in 1901. That was the last segment. You want another one?
Sure.
Here opening day, April 14th, 1920 at League Park. Why 1920?
Oh, I know why.
Why?
They won it all that year.
They won it all that year, and it was the first time a Cleveland Major League Baseball team actually even made the postseason.
Really?
Yep. Yep. How about that?
Wow. Do they always have postseason? I'm just curious. I mean, I know that might sound crazy, but in the beginning, and I know you may not know the answer, but in the beginning, did they just, was the regular season champ just the champ? Or? I don't know. I mean, in the beginning. I mean, who knows how many teams.
I think that's the case. How's that?
All right, fair enough.
All right. Your opening day left fielder in 1920, the team that ended up winning it all. I just had it here, and I clicked, and it went away.
Ray Chapman. No, he was an infielder.
Jack Greaney. It was Jack Greaney.
Oh, yeah!
You looked it up, apparently.
Well, no, I just looked it up.
You're not supposed to do that.
Well, I saw the names.
You're supposed to react. You're not supposed to do this.
But that was pretty good. He's probably one of the few names I think anybody might still
know. Jack Greaney later became a legendary broadcaster.
That's the only reason
why.
Indians, yeah. Well, there's another reason why I would know somebody else.
Jack Greaney led off and played left field. This is sad. Hitting second, the only Major League Baseball player who was killed in a Major League Baseball game. And it happened later that season. Ray Chapman played shortstop, hit second. Tris Speaker, Hall of Famer, was hitting third.
So can I give you two things really quick on both those guys?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think there's anything cooler than going to Lakeview Cemetery. I mean, there are things that are cooler in life, but it is really interesting to go to Lakeview Cemetery where Ray is buried.
Yeah.
And when the team is playing really well, to see what people drop by the headstone. It's actually really neat. The other thing, too, is Rockefeller, that people always throw like pennies and quarters and they always throw money at that, too. Tris Speaker was a huge part of a Little League on the east side for Cleveland Heights University. We all played Tris Speaker Little League. So, I mean, he had an impact on a lot of east side kids. That, I'm not kids now. People are in their 50s and 60s and 70s right now that all play Tris Speaker Little League.
Okay. So it's Jack Graney, Ray Chapman, Tris Speaker, heard of all those guys. Mm-hmm. Elmer Smith hit cleanup and was in right field, went 2-for-5 that day. Larry Gardner played third base. Bill Wamsgans played second base. It's that funky name that everybody can't pronounce, and Wamsgans is the way it's supposed to be, I guess. Doc Johnston played first base. You know this name, Steve O'Neill.
Yes.
Was the catcher. He hit eighth. And batting ninth, Hall of Fame pitcher who went 2-for-3 at the plate back when pitchers could hit, Stan Kovaleski. Stan pitched a nice game that day. He went 9 innings, shutout, 5 hits, 7 Ks, and your Indians beat the St. Louis Browns 5-0 in the opening day of 1920, the first Indians team that went on to win the World Series.
Very nice. That was good stuff, Jeff. Considering all these guys probably would have been, if they were still alive today, they'd be in their 130s, 140s.
Andy, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
I agree with you on that. Now, and Steve O'Neill obviously later had a piece of the team, right? Owned the team? Is that the same O'Neill?
I do not believe so.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because that O'Neill family is still rocking and rolling in Northeast Ohio, and I may have been in their suite for the Rolling Stones. And, man, did we have a good time. Thank you, O'Neill family. That was part of the old ownership group, O'Neill's.
Andy sucks up to people and gets great tickets and stuff. I'm so impressed by you.
And I was just about to come out and go, can we get one that's a little less heartfelt so we can actually make fun of it? And then you turn it into a commercial.
What do you mean I turned it into a commercial? What was the commercial? Man, I had a good time. Whew. That was fun. Tip of the cap, O'Neill family. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Andy Baskin for having cool friends.
No, and there was a little Speaker of the House reference there.
Your friends are a little boring.
That was Tip O'Neill.
Yeah, cool. I know. That's why I said tip of the cap to the O'Neill family.
Okay.
All right, which one? What? How many 140-year-olds are we talking about next? I love it. I love every minute of this.
Little perspective on our franchise.
Tris Speaker.
It's opening day. Opening day lineups are a big deal. Thought you'd enjoy that. Tris Speaker.
I have a good Bob Feller opening day story. You want to hear it?
He threw no hitter.
No. No.
Yes, I want to hear it.
All right, I'll give you the 3-minute version. First job, Missoula, Montana. I don't know if I've ever told you. Have I ever told you this story?
No.
Okay. So I had been there for maybe 3 or 4 months, and, you know, Bob was on the circuit. He was throwing out first pitches for little leagues across the country. And he happened to be where?
Missoula, Montana.
In Missoula, Montana, right? So I call my dad, and like I'm like, Dad, you're not going to believe this. Bob Feller's going to be out here for opening day.
Okay. I know where this is going.
And
it's a good story.
What? And he's like, I'm like, Dad, Bob Feller. I'm going to interview Bob Feller. And I was only like 21. And he was like, really? And I was like, oh, my dad was so excited. For the next 25 minutes, my dad explained to me how Bob Feller was the biggest calisthenics, you know, like guru of his day, and that he would be at the ballpark 4 or 5 hours before anyone ever had to be there to make sure he was stretched out, he was ready to go, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just great, you know, leader in calisthenics. So here I am, 21 years old. I got a camera. I'm wheeling all this stuff. I'm going over to the park, which is kind of behind the TV station. And there he is, the legend, Bob Feller, is in Missoula, Montana, right? So I sit down and I get on this park bench and he's sitting on the other side. I was like, Mr. Feller, it is an absolute honor to meet you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And then at this moment, I knew where this was going. Nice to meet you, son. And so then I was like, you know, I'm from Cleveland. You're such a legend. And you didn't want to hear any of it. So now I sit down, I'm like, you know, Mr. Feller, what do you think of Missoula? And he gives me this this line. And here I am, man. I am this hard-hitting 21-year-old journalist. And I'm like, Mr. Feller, how important was calisthenics to you when you were playing the game? And how important was it to make sure that your career could last a long time? And Bob Feller looks at me and goes, not a big deal at all.
Thanks, Dad.
And I'm like, well, compared to today's player, he goes, today's players have everything. It's all there, right there for him. And then I was like, all right, well, thanks, Mr. Feller. And he was like, that was the end of it. I get on the phone with my dad. I go, that's the last time I ever listened to you on prepping for a story for anything. So there you have it. That's my Bob Feller story.
You want mine?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay,
it's got to be better than mine because I didn't sell mine good enough just now.
You're going to like this.
I needed a better punchline.
It's the same type of deal. Bob, in the summer, used to go around to minor league teams. And Bob earned an income going to minor league teams and everything else. The Beaumont Golden Gators, who I've mentioned before, brought Bob into town twice. So I'm interviewing Bob, doing a live shot before the game. And the general manager of the Gators was my buddy Lou Valentic, who was from Ashtabula. So Bob hooked me up, and this is true. When I was in elementary school, there was a book in our library about Bob Feller. My name was the only name on the sign-out card. I signed it and just kept signing. I signed it out, 30 times. I read the book 30 times. And
you couldn't get it the first two,
When I met Mr. Feller,
yeah,
I introduced myself. Lou introduced me to him. I started talking. I said, Mr. Feller, I must tell you. I told him the elementary school book story. And Bob said, was it Rapid Robert or was it Bob Feller's strikeout king? And I thought, oh, boy.
And then
I said, gosh, Mr. Feller, I must be honest. I don't remember the title of the book because I just know it was me signing it out endlessly.
Yeah. Hey, son, let me tell you one more thing.
I later discovered it was Bob Feller. It was Strikeout King.
Did you read that section on calisthenics?
It was Bob Feller, Strikeout King. No. And then he came in another time.
Yeah.
And he did a pitching exhibition to the media.
Oh, this must have been fun.
Okay. So I grab a bat, right? They sign us up. Here I step in against Bob Feller.
No way.
Yeah. Lou Valentic, the guy from Ashtabula,
yeah,
general manager, now lives in Indiana. Lou, yeah, you're a great guy. I know he has family here in town.
Yeah.
Lou's on the PA.
Okay.
Now stepping into the batter's box, the kid from Cleveland, sports director at Channel 4, grew up idolizing Bob Feller, Jeff Phelps.
Please tell me.
I step into the batter's box.
He threw it at your head. Please
Mike McClain from the Gators is out there handing Bob baseballs.
Okay.
Now, when it came to being a great high school baseball player, I wasn't.
Okay.
But I could hit.
Okay.
Bob throws me a pitch. I smoke a line drive.
Oh, no.
Right back up the box.
Oh, no.
Bob and Mike McClain are on the ground. They both bailed.
Oh, my God.
And they're on the ground. Lou. Oh, my God. The kid from Cleveland almost killed Bob Feller.
Did he throw at your head next time you were up, or was that the only time you got there?
No, I got like five pitches, but
their stories of Bob throwing
and
at guys.
Bob and Mike were on the ground.
Oh,
on
man.
The ground. And then I got a certificate and it said, Jeff Phelps, blah, 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 hit off of Bob Feller and got a double or whatever.
Right.
And it said in fine print, we understand that in Bob Feller's day, the results would have been very different. And then Mr. Feller, and I thought, well, of course it would have been. But, because Bob was like 70.
Yeah, well, there
75,
was,
and he's pitching BP. But it truly, there was a disclaimer. Yeah, you singled off Bob Feller now.
Yeah.
But you weren't going to single off Bob Feller then.
Well, there was talk about Bob at fantasy camp.
Knocking guys down.
Yeah, brushing guys back after they had big hits before. And this was later. I mean, this was like 60s, 70s.
It's opening day, folks. What do you think? It's opening day. Help me figure out first base. Help me figure out first base and more opening day lineups coming up. We're celebrating the game all day long right here on Baskin and Phelps.